We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus, our morning talk show. My name is David Inge. We're glad to have you here. And we are glad to have here in studio with us Doyle Moore, the man we like to call our chef in residence. He has had that title for a long time now, as he stopped by on a regular basis. We always do these programs on the first Wednesday of the month, the first show, the 10 o'clock show. And we've been doing it for a long time because we started doing it because we were just looking for something that was kind of fun. And someone said, well, could you do a cooking show? And we thought, cooking show on the radio? What? How do we do that? And the key was the guest. And someone said to us, well, now this is the guy you need to get. This Doyle Moore guy. So we invited him, and the rest, as they say,
is history
after all these years. And so what we do is he decides there's something in particular he'd kind of like to talk about, and we do that, set that as a topic, and talk about that. But, you know, we ramble. Who knows where we end up. But this time around, he said he was interested in talking about Indian cooking, which is something that he is very near and dear to his heart. And I'm sure we've talked about one way or another. We talked about this style of cooking and these flavors. And it would just been something that he's kind of had on his mind here lately. So he said, well, let's do that. And I said, well, of course. Questions, comments, recipes, any of that are welcome. If you'd just like to say hi, that's fine. 333-9455 is for Champaign-Urbana. Toll free, 800-222-9455. And email will-talk@illinois.edu. So have you been you've been doing some quick Indian stuff
how,
lately?
How kind of you to ask.
Yes.
Sunday, as a matter of fact. That's how far ahead I plan all these programs. Sunday I did an Indian meal for some friends, and it put me back into this frame of mind. I'm very fond of Indian cooking. It's the only cooking that I really somehow understand. I mean, others, I follow recipes carefully, and I do what is done, and it comes out, and it's okay, and everything. But somehow, I just fell into the rhythm of Indian cooking, and I find it very easy and very pleasant and very fulfilling. And we were talking even at the dinner that you couldn't have really done this, maybe 15, 20 years ago. Until 15 or 20 years ago, we didn't have the materials to cook with, but now they're all over town. There are two Indian stores, and one of course is a block and a half from me. Annapurna is one, and World Harvest has has all the spices and all of the things that you need, and so does Strawberry Fields. They have a lot of Indian materials to cook with there. Something that I found out now, rather than just having to be frightened by, oh my gosh, what do you do and where do you get it. So many of the stores, all that I mentioned, plus sometimes I think even Schnucks has one or two Indian packages of frozen food, and they are really, really good. I've just been amazed at how good prepared Indian foods are. The dals that are made with all kinds of lentils and How many kinds of lentils are there? Well, there's red ones and green ones and yellow ones and split ones and green ones that are split and white ones and And they've all got a name. They're all in Hindi. They're all called Dahl, D-A-H-L. And so they are used to make soups with a lot. It ends up being a very thick soup are the dals. And they then accompany other things. And they seem to be all similar. I mean, they're approaching the same. They're approached in the same way when you cook them. So they're all kind of similar. But any of the dals you can find, and they've got some that aren't even in the freezer. And I cheat once in a while, and I use those because I've got six dishes to make. I'll make one of them from some packets that I happen to, and no one knows the difference. I don't know the difference, so how can they know the difference? The cooking is a very it. Well, I don't know how to. There's a very strange mystery that somehow I have gotten in on with Indian cooking, and the one teacher that we had showed us how to set up your kitchen, as it were. And there's a small container, a little round container, and in it are individual cups. And in these individual cups are the spices that you use. And I just happen to have this in front of me here because I needed just to remember it. Salt, and then black mustard seed, cumin seed, ground chilies. Yes, I have to put my glasses on to see too. Ground chilies and turmeric and ground coriander, and then in the middle, asafoetida, which is the Indian name is hing, and it's asafoetida. And it's the same asafoetida as you used to have it. Remember an asafoetida bag that hung around your neck? If you were Victorian, you'd remember that.
That was a little before.
It was Victorian, a little bit, but
before my time.
But correctly, it is asafoetida, but somehow we called it asafoetida.
And did that have some sort of medicinal?
I think it stunk
property?
So much that the bugs weren't supposed to crawl on you.
I think it was that kind of.
And my father often talked about an asafoetida bag that you'd hang around your neck, and of course the word fetid is part
yes.
of it. But the interesting thing is it only comes from an obscure spot in Afghanistan, and it's the rosin of a tree in Afghanistan. But people used to go for miles and miles and miles to get that, and it's very much used. You use it at the rate of 1/8 of a teaspoon.
An eighth of a teaspoon. That's not very much.
At this point, then you put in the asafoetida.
It must be powerful.
It is blending. It melds and blends all these things together. In a way, and to not have it, you say, "What? Why? What? That taste isn't here." You don't taste it, but you taste its presence. That's the mystery. That's the mystery part. And so the other part of the mystery was, I kept watching my teacher cook, and she would start here. First was mustard seed. And then cumin seed, and then ground chili, then turmeric, then coriander, and then the asafoetida, and then salt. And that is in nearly every recipe that started out was that way, except sometimes it would be no cumin seeds, and we would jump from mustard seed to chili to turmeric to coriander. And sometimes it would be one would be, and I kept watching, and I said, "You always go in a circle to the right and you never go backwards. You aren't jumping back and forth across, you know, a little of this, a little of that, a little. No, it's first this, then that. She said, you have been watching. I said, yes, I have. I said, it's a real ritual. In fact, when I open the can, these fumes come up and it's not intoxicating, it's exhilarating. You get all these fumes of all these, and it's really, and you're looking at it, and it's really like a mandala. And so your responsibility is to trace that mandala in a circle and never go backwards. I don't know how that got into it, but that's the way it's done. And that's been and the interesting thing is you always know where you are. Mm-hmm. Exactly the last thing you put in, you know what the next one will be, the next one will be. And the only thing that happens is you vary the amounts. And so there'll be twice as much on one and half as much on another. But you never arbitrarily take something and throw that down and then jump back and forth. It is in this cycle. And so the whole manner of cooking is also done in that way where you very carefully make in this case, I learned the cooking of Gujarat, which was the vegetarian, and that one you start with what is called a vagar, and that is oil, and the first thing in, mustard seed, then the mustard seed pops, and it adds a very bright flavor to the oil, and then cumin seed, and then ground chili, and this is not chili powder, this is ground chilies, and turmeric. But turmeric, you have to be careful. Turmeric, you use either a little bit for a certain vegetable and a lot more for another vegetable, or none for another one. Turmeric is what makes turmeric is what makes mustard yellow.
Yellow, yeah, and also you have to be very careful you don't get it on.
It stains a lot.
Yeah.
So the act of cooking is also a cyclical act so that you're constantly aware of cycles in the cooking. It's not just throw some things together. No, in this order.
Yeah.
They have to start with the aromatic cooking of the seeds. That's what makes it kind of interesting, because we have curry powder, which really and truly doesn't exist, though you can buy it in a can on the shelf.
No Indian cook is going to use curry powder. They don't even know
what curry powder is. It doesn't exist. It was an invention of the English, who wanted a mixture. The mixture of all these things, so that they could wouldn't that be the English? Well, yeah, give me two
just
tablespoons of this, and that's all I have to do. Yeah. You don't have to go through this cycle of building and such. So there is this great mystery to the act of cooking, which I always enjoy, and then the perfume and visually and very straightforward. Anything can be cooked in this manner. Anything. And it is, and it always. It interests me that the cooking of it is just simple. One, two, three. That's it. That's all there is to it. And you've done it. And I have visited in India, and one day the concierge at the hotel we're staying invited my friend and I to his house, which was only about a quarter of a mile away. And we went to his house, and I'm sort of looking like, where is the house? There was an open area that had walls around it, and then there was a room behind that. Well, that ended up being his house. And then his wife came out, and she had a handful of wooden twigs. And then in this courtyard space next to the wall, she built a tiny fire and made us tea right there on the spot. And it was. And then when the tea was done, she stamped out the burning coals, put them back into something, and went back into the house. And that's That was all there was. I was always amazed at that. But again, it was a simple cycle of making this. And she made tea for the three of us. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, an elephant walked by the door.
I'm serious.
I mean, it was just like, who are you and what are you doing and what's going on? But I loved it. I loved it. And I felt that cyclical experience repeating and repeating and repeating. But the food is extremely delicious, but it frightens a lot of people. And I thought maybe if anyone would call in and ask about a specific recipe, we might be able to find something like that. But it's just not a matter of convenience. It's a matter of this is what you do. There isn't a question about it. So psychologically, the whole aspect of cooking in the Indian style is very interior. You know, it's really a great part of yourself, and not just a matter of, oh, we've got to get something on the table.
Yeah.
It isn't that at all.
Doyle Moore is here. He's the man we'd like to call our chef in residence on this program, Focus. He is here first Wednesday of the month at 10 o'clock hour, and we've been doing this for a long time. He stops by, and we talk about food and cooking and share stories, talk about traditions, talk about how food and cooking is so much more than just, an energy source for the body just to keep you going, and how much people's the way they think about food and what they eat is connected with the place they grew up and with their family, and all that stuff gets tangled up in really interesting ways. And so we pick a particular topic, and when I say we, I mean he picks a particular topic, and we talk about that thing and sometimes tell stories and exchange recipes. And this time around, he said, well, let's talk about Indian food, which is something that he really loves and has been interested in and has been learning about for a long time. So maybe there are some Indian cooks out there listening, or someone who just maybe has a good recipe to share, or some kind of question or comment or whatever. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. The thing I was thinking about is I think there probably are a lot of people who would say that they enjoy Indian food or have had it and they enjoyed it, but have never actually tried to make it.
Frightened to make it.
Well, you look at the recipes, and first of all, the ingredient lists sometimes are very long.
It's amazing.
And because they have all the individual spices. And it can look intimidating, and if it's particularly, and if it's things that you're not used to cooking with, or maybe you don't have asafoetida on your shelf next to your oregano and basil.
I do.
Well, of course you do.
You're right.
But that's and it just might seem very just very strange.
Well, it is intimidating.
And intimidating.
And you don't have any guide.
Yeah.
I mean, it is so remote. There is just no guide. It is not intuitive cooking.
But that it also, I like your idea about the way things are laid out and going in a certain way, because that also says that there is, sometimes people in the kitchen, and I guess I would cop to this too, particularly if I'm trying to make something I've never made before, it can be stressful and anxiety producing, and that's no fun.
No.
And the result is not going to be good. And the thing is that part of the deal is maybe familiarity, but part of it is also being organized. And kind of having things laid out, and knowing how you're going to, knowing what the steps are, that we do this, and you do this, and you do this, and it does, if you can do it that way, then it can be more relaxed and more enjoyable, and you're not in a panic. You're not thinking, oh my God, what am I going to do next? Or you sit there and you think, I need X thing, and then you have to say, oh no, where is that? Then you're in your spice cabinet, and you're rummaging around there looking for something. Well, you can't. No, you can't do that. You got to have everything kind of lined up and ready to go, and it can be that kind of just go with the
flow.
And then we do this part, and right here I have the thing I need, and right, that's the, otherwise this just can be really nerve wracking, and you do that every night, and it's just no fun.
Nope.
All right. Well, here's someone to talk with.
Yes.
How about that? Gibson City, line number one. Right here Hello.
Yes, hello. This is more of a story about my daughter. When she was in college, her roommate was from India, and she had a brother that lived off campus, and she would invite my daughter over to her brother's house when he cooked. And she learned to love Indian food, even the spicier stuff. And then she moved to New Mexico. And then
oh, my.
So every chance they get, when they go to a big city, they find an Indian restaurant.
Yes.
And then she decided, well, I could start cooking this stuff or making Indian food. And so she is doing that. But again, the spices, so I'm thank you for the information because I think I'm going to stop in one of the stores you mentioned and pick up some Indian spices for her because she started cooking.
Well, the stores that I mentioned, World Harvest. World Harvest has a lot of Indian, and then Annapurna, which is a store next near what's the liquor store?
Yeah, we have shopped at World Harvest.
Yes.
I'm sure anything you would need, you could probably find it at World Harvest.
Yeah. And Piccadilly. Piccadilly on Neal Street.
Okay.
In Champaign. Just off of Neal Street in Champaign. That now is called Royal Plaza, although okay. You never think of it as that. Mm. And at the far west end is an Indian supply store.
Okay.
And so and they're very helpful. They'll you tell them what you want and they'll find it right away. Mm. So yes, indeed, I just bought a supply and started some folks cooking. So
yeah.
It'll be about $35 for all the spices you need.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I'm going to have to call her and ask her what she wants.
Yes, do that.
And pick it up for her and that. But I really am glad for the information. And we are actually living in New Mexico also. And
oh, yes.
And we miss you WILL AM and FM both. And I especially miss David Inge. And I'm so glad I got a chance to listen again.
Good for you.
Good for you. You know, I don't know if you have internet out there, but you know, you can listen on the online. We're streaming live online.
Yeah, and I try to do that once in a while, and right now our computer sound thing has gone out, so we're going to have to get that fixed. But yes, no, but I miss you because the thing about having it on the radio is you can walk around and listen, you know, while you're still doing stuff. But I really miss you guys, and you do a great job.
Well, thanks for the call.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Other folks?
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Thank you for the call. All the folks who are listening, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have interrupted there. Other folks who are listening, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. We're talking this morning with Doyle Moore. This is something that we do the first Wednesday of the month, talking about food and cooking, and sometimes talk about cooking from different places or different dishes and encourage people to say, give us their variant on whatever that thing is. And this time around, we are talking about one of his great food loves, and that's the cooking of India, which he's been interested in for a long time. 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Well, what was it? Can you remember the first, you know, really the first time that you would say that you had had Indian food?
You're asking me to go back a long ways. I don't know. I can't remember when. But during my life, let's see. I would have been a senior in high school. I was something. Either a senior in high school or after. The family that I lived with took in a International Farm Youth Exchange, an IFE student. And he was from India, and so then he lived on the farm with us for a period of time, and then went to other farms in other parts of the country, and he was interested in one thing or another, and then of course we kept in contact with him, and he got married and brought his family here, And it was from his wife that I learned to do the cooking. And I wanted to make a interesting relationship. The woman who just called in had spoken of being related to New Mexico. Well, I found I got some recipes from the wife of the student, and then they moved down to Texas, and then we would see them again or talk to them again. And she had taught me how to make roti, which is the little bread that you put down and puff up, and it's one of the breads. And so you make that. It's just, again, very direct, very straight, except if you don't do it right, you won't get the right results. So you have to know the technique. Well, anyway, she went down to Texas and was with a lot of near a lot of Mexican women. And she made these roti one day. And of course, the women in Texas, the Mexican women, immediately recognized them as tortillas and the best that they'd ever had in their life. And so they kept asking her, Mrs. Sardana, will you please make some more tortillas for us? And she was really just making Indian roti. And I thought, you know, there's two cultures that are... get together with bread, and one can't tell from the other which it is. I always sort of liked that particular thought. Mm-hmm. So she would cook for these people.
Mm. All right, let's talk with somebody else here. Champagne, line number one, right here. Hello.
Hi. As long as we had the elephant, I thought we'd extend this thing a little bit.
Yes.
Did you ever look into the medicinal values? I'm going to mispronounce it, but it was Ayurvedic. Is that the one in terms of the medicine?
I know what you're talking about. Yes. I haven't examined that. I leave that to the side. But I do know that there is a great interest, but technique in putting vegetables. I'm going to use the wrong words, but in a sense of your relationship between cool vegetables and hot vegetables, or cool foods and hot foods. And I don't mean by that the heat, but the fact that they fall into these categories. And so you have a better diet if you mix things in a certain manner and put them together in a certain way and not pile up. The closest thing I can get is we eat so many carbs. You could cut down on carbs. Well, if you ate in this manner, it's a healthful technique. I don't know anything about it, except I know its principles, and I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, the other comment I get too sometimes when I talk to Indian is that you'll say the restaurant, say, oh no, in other words, what happens is that in terms of the home cooked meal, it's not quite the same as going to a restaurant.
It somehow isn't. A home-cooked meal is again sort of the passion and the spirit of that of the family and the way they all fit together. The restaurant is trying to satisfy multiple needs, and you're trying to satisfy just what you know you can do. You know.
Okay, good
talk. Right, thanks. Well, we have some other folks here to talk with. I tell you what, first, though, we need to take a little break here, as we try to do it usually about this point in the show. Well, we'll do that. And, of course, in a moment, we'll talk with some more with our guest, Doyle Moore.
Today's broadcast is made possible in part by the Brown Bag Deli in downtown Monticello. Brown Bag Deli offers freshly made casual lunches and dinners, homemade pies by Inge, gourmet foods, and a wacky collection of unique cards and gifts. Brown Bag Deli encourages you to join them in supporting WILL.
This is Focus, our morning talk show. My name's David Inge. Glad to have you here. We're here with 10 different topics every week. give you a chance to ask questions, make comments. Tomorrow morning in the 10 o'clock hour, our guest will be Michael Loudon. He is a geophysicist. He's also manager for Global Geoscience Hiring and Development for ExxonMobil, and he's here going to be visiting the campus talking about energy in the 21st century, and that's what we'll talk about tomorrow at 10. Friday at 10, we will talk about the future of the space program, and particularly about the possibility that we might again see human beings going to the moon or even further. There are people who make the argument that is something that we should be working toward. And our guest with the program will be Louis Friedman, Dr. Louis Friedman. He's an aeronautics engineer. He's also the executive director emeritus of the Planetary Society, something that was founded by a number of people, including Carl Sagan. He'll be joining us by phone. That was a show that we were going to do some weeks ago, and we didn't manage to get hooked up with the guest, but we'll be doing it on Friday at 10 o'clock. You can check the schedule, find out what we will be doing in the days ahead. You can listen to past programs by going to our website, WILL.illinois.edu. This morning, it's first Wednesday of the month. We're talking about food. We've been doing that for a long time with the guy we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. And he picks the topic. It's an inspiration. An angel comes down, and it's in neon, and it says, Indian food is what we're doing this time around. And generally, it's what he's thinking about or doing or liking, or he gets a taste for something, and then we talk about that thing. And questions, comments are welcome. We have a number of callers here, and we have a couple, and we'll just go back to the phones. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455, by the way. Okay, let's go to Urbana, line number two. Hello. I am not hearing the guest. I'm not sure if the caller is trying. I tell you what. Hi, go ahead.
Hi, it's Irene from Urbana, and I know Doyle. It was almost prophetic that he mentioned roti, which I happened to get from World Harvest.
Oh, yes.
And I would like to know, Doyle, what you put on roti, because I am insane for them. I put them in the toaster oven, take them out, and I can put peanut butter on them, and they're very good. But I'm sure you have marvelous ideas for roti.
Well, if you're going to use it then as a snack, I would, and just for the convenience of it, there are so many chutneys and pickles that are Indian made.
My most favorite,
and we just ate this Saturday. My most favorite is lime pickle or lime relish. And you know, a little. You don't need a whole lot, but a little taste of that on a roti. Actually, I learned just to eat with butter on it.
Oh, they're so good.
Yeah, they are. They are very, very good. And it was a great surprise to see them made and know that I could do it. They're made with whole wheat, and so they're good for you.
I know whole wheat.
And a little bit of oil and a whole lot of muscle and mashing and again. Again, you have to make them in a certain order, and there's a name for each size and each shape that you're doing, and you roll them up in a little round ball, and that's got a name, and then you flatten the ball with your hand, and that's got a name, and then you roll it out with a little rolling pin, and that's got a name, that shape. So each of those shapes has a specific name and a specific time in doing it. So again, this systematic way of cooking is just even in making roti.
Well, so, thank you very much. I'm very happy to buy them. After hearing you, I will never.
Well, do that, and also while you're there, get some of the sweet spicy mango chutneys.
Oh, man.
And that would really be good.
Mango.
And if you're confused about all that, just go to the grocery store and get Major Gray, because Major Gray is one of the chutneys that was brought from India to England, and it tastes very similar. It's a sweet mango, but there is a PATAK brand, and there'll be jars of that, and all of the stores that I mentioned have jars of all of that, and you just go look it up and down. And any of them would be really a great treat on a roti.
Thank you very much.
You betcha.
All right,
bye.
Thanks for the
bye.
Call. Let's see. Let's go to Champagne. Next, line number three. Hello.
Hi. I wanted to say hi to Doyle and actually thank him for introducing me personally to Indian cooking a long time ago. I was struggling with vegetarianism as a student of his in the early 80s, and he generously offered to bring me into an adult education class in Urbana that was being taught by this wonderful woman who was an Indian woman who was teaching everyone all the details about Indian cooking. And for me, it was a transformative experience, and I want to thank him for that. And particularly, I'm hoping he could say a little bit more about her if he hasn't already. I tuned in a little late. But what was probably the coolest thing was at the end of this multi-week course, she invited everybody in the class to her home to cook an enormous multi-course Indian meal, and it was transcendental. It was just the best meal I've ever had, and I've since traveled all over the world and have experienced all kinds of great food, but I've never been able to match that experience. And as far as one particular food item goes, the meal ended with a dessert called gulab jamun.
Hey, I've got that recipe. I'm going to tell it in a moment.
So he
made some,
about that.
And he actually brought him in here, and I had one myself just before we got going here, and they're pretty tasty.
Yeah, I mean, it's the most interesting, exotic thing, and to me it was awesome to hear about an ingredient called rose water being added to this.
Yes.
So anyway, I'm hoping you can talk more about that whole...
Well, I'm going to get to that.
Sounds great.
Not only that, I'm looking through my list here. I have a list of all the things that we ate at that meal.
Oh, awesome.
Somewhere in front of me here.
I'm eager to hear you tell more about that story.
Yes. Okay.
All right, well, I'll sign off.
Great.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Well, maybe since we have a couple of people here, I don't want
to
make them wait forever.
Talk to them.
But because I did kind of want to come back to the Indian donuts.
I will do that. I have it right here, and we'll get
because
that
they're,
done.
They're very good.
But let's talk to these folks.
All right. Just let me also mention one other thing, because we had somebody here who couldn't hang on, who said that they were interested in a recipe for Bombay potato with chickpeas, possibly with light tomato sauce. And I was, and so I have now been, I Googled that, and it seems to me that there are many,
many
recipes for this.
Potatoes.
Everything from one that I found that was so simple that it was just potatoes and onions and curry powder and canned tomato, to ones that are much more, that are more complicated. Rather than using curry powder, they use the individual spices. So it looks as if you can get on the internet and you just put in Bombay potatoes, tomatoes, chickpeas, you'll get more recipes than you know what to do with. And I don't know if you have a particular, I know Doyle is now looking in one of the books that he brought with him. Seems to me that it's not a terribly complicated thing. It's just
it's easy to do.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, we do have callers here. I want to get to them, and let's do that. We'll go back to line one in Champagne. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm from India, and I'm very excited to hear about the show. I'm to listen in today, and there was something I thought I'd share with you, and that is that the Indian Cultural Society of Champaign-Urbana, we are putting together a cookbook called Home Cooking of India just from the community.
Oh.
People you know or have had meals with are sending in recipes, which I'm editing and compiling. It's a very long task because this is all not-for-profit, and we're not making money on this. We want to just put out the recipes that we have either adapted, brought from our homeland.
Yes.
And adapted to the U.S., and, you know, your kids want burgers. Well, you can have a vegetarian burger. Here is a black bean burger recipe. You
right.
Know, kinds of things. Plus authentic Indian ones, but they all use Indian spices. And we wanted to just sort of, you know, sell it at a nominal price in order to raise some money for the Daily Bread Soup Kitchen. So when that comes out, I hope I'll be able to talk more about it with you. But I thought you should know it's from people in this community.
And how can we get a hold of you? I mean, when do you think this will be published?
Published, yes. That's what I'm working on. I'm hoping to finish the project by the end of, maybe by Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And it's a small book. It's about 170 recipes.
Wow.
And they're just things that people sent in or that I pulled out. You know, it was like extracting teeth. I was getting all these recipes. I'd go to a party and eat something and say, how did you make that? Now tell me.
Of course.
And of course, some of the shortcuts, because some of Indian cooking is quite labor intensive. And so, you know, you find easy ways to do this. So there are a few notes in there about Indian cooking. And, you know, it's just a friendly little community offering. And I could either send you an email and let you know when it comes out, or, you know, however you'd like me to do that. Because we thought we'd maybe sell it at the farmer's market.
I think it's a great idea. That's a very great idea. I want to make sure I get a copy.
Yeah, and it will be from people who've either lived here or visited here.
Yes.
So it's a Champagne Urbana offering.
Great.
Well, I think it would be wonderful for us to find some way to talk a little bit about it on the air, to tell people about it. At the point where it's going to become available, why don't you, when you get close to that point, say, give us a call, send us an email, and
okay.
Let us know.
So I just send it to WILL.
You could send it to you could send it to me, or you could send it to the Will Talk, will-talk@Illinois. Or I guess it's a hyphen. They keep telling me will-talk@illinois.edu. Or you could send it to me,
which would be David Inge.
Yeah, Dinge at mine's still a UIUC, so it's a UIUC.edu.
Oh, okay, Dinge@UIUC. Yeah. Yes, that might be easier. Okay, I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, please do.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that, and thank you very much for calling.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Very good. Thank you. All right. We're going to do one more here at least. This is somebody in Urbana. Line two. Hello.
Hi. When you mentioned Indian groceries, I didn't think I heard you mention Mersan Indian Grocery Store on Green Street, which is fantastic.
No, I haven't. I didn't name the one on Green Street. I've not been there, but I only knew of it, and I couldn't find its name.
It's Mirsung, Mirsung, and it's absolutely fantastic. And they have not only all Indian groceries, but they also sell some. They go up to Chicago and bring down some of the Indian sweets. So it's really exceptional. And on the other side, actually, they have Indian food that they sell during the day.
Oh, yes.
But the grocery store, that's where I get my Indian groceries. It's just incredible.
Well, thank you. Because I've not been there. That's down on the campus, isn't it? On Green Street in the campus.
Yeah, it's just a little further up. It's before Neil, but it's on Green before you get to the aqueduct under you know.
Oh, all right.
It's just a little west of sort of campus town.
Yes. Well, I'll look into that because I enjoy that very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, great. Well, I'm so wild about Mirsung. I didn't want it, you know, people not to know that that's.
I'm glad to know that because I have not been there, and it's not been there too long.
Well, a few years.
Has it?
Yeah, a few years, and it's really just fantastic. Anything you want, and then they'll get anything you want if they don't have it. They're just really incredible to work with.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah,
that's very good point.
And we certainly didn't mean to slight or play favorites. I guess we're just sort of maybe we're just used to there are particular places that we would go, and those are the stores where we shop. But I think one of the great things about this community being very cosmopolitan is that now more and more, if you're interested in cuisines of other places, there. You now can go, as you said in the beginning of the program, there would have been a time when if you decided you wanted to make an Indian meal, it would have been very difficult because you couldn't find the stuff that you needed. Well, now you certainly can, and there are great places that you can go and buy the materials. We're coming down to about 5-6 minutes.
I want to give this recipe.
Do the Indian donuts.
I've got the Indian donut. It's not Indian donuts, although it's cooked like a donut, so I guess it is. A gulab jamun, and sometimes that's spelled J-A-B-U-N and sometimes J-A-M-U-N. U-U-N. I don't know. Anyway, gulab jamun. This is a new recipe. Now, by the way, Bell Aronson on television, the Spice Goddess. That's on the Cooking Channel just before David Rocco. So she's at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I've been looking at her, and she's really very good. And then there's another Indian cook on television. Artie's Parties. She was chosen as one of the new stars of the cooking shows. But she's doing advertisements I see for Patak. I find it very interesting. There's two or three Indian cooking shows on television. But anyway, this one comes from Bell Aronson, and this one is so easy and so straightforward. I'll give it to you here. 3 cups of dried milk powder, that's dried milk, 1 cup of all-purpose flour, 1 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda, and then 1 3/4 cup of whipping cream, not whipped, but the cream right out of the carton, 1 3/4 cup. And all of that you mix together, and I would use my hands, mixing it together, and it makes a very, very, very stiff dough that you can then roll into the size of a little bit smaller than golf balls. And so they are set aside. Then you make a syrup, a little heady on this one, 5 cups of sugar and 4 cups of water. And in that, you put 8 green cardamom pods. I would crush them so that it releases the seeds. 8 cloves and 2 star anise. And you let that boil and cook up a bit. Then you go back to the donuts, and you can use regular oil, canola oil or a vegetable oil for cooking. But here's the thing, is that they are not cooked really hot. They are slowly cooked. They're not like 350 degrees like you're going to do shrimp or something like that, but they're much less than that. I just drop a little bit in until it begins to kind of fizzle a little bit, and you don't get it really, really hot. But you cook the donuts then and you turn them over, and it's funny. I don't know how you can turn a round donut over, but you can, and it seems to work. And you fry them about 2 minutes on each side, which is really quite a long cooking time. And then they are taken out and dropped into this syrup, this spicy syrup. And, oh, are they good. They are so good, and they'll last a long time. Mm-hmm. And we got some here in front of us to eat.
And it was very to and you said and the caller said that these things have rose water.
Oh yes, I did mention. Now there are two ways of getting the rose water. One is there is a jar called rose water, but there's also a small extract jar, and it is a rose essence. And somehow these spices, star anise, cloves, and cardamom, go together rather well, but then they're elevated with the addition of rose water, and they are so good.
This has a very mysterious taste. You know, it's something that you can't quite place somehow.
Well, this recipe that I just gave is the simplest, straightforward, done and that's it recipe. I like making. Now, if you're wary of it, I do know that in town there are containers of gulab jamun that are already cooked, and you can have them and enjoy them. Or there are some mixes. I think I found some mixes at Schnucks, a gulab jamun mix. But come on. 3 cups of milk powder, 1 cup of flour, and 1/2 teaspoon of baking soda, and 1 3/4 cup of whipping cream. Mm. That was it. This is the best recipe that I've ever gotten for this, and this is Bell Aronson's.
And I'm looking here at a website from it's a Cooking Channel site that is about her, and that it has some information about her. And I will tell you, aside from the fact that she's totally gorgeous, I appreciate the fact here that it says her philosophy is that no one should spend more than 25 minutes in the kitchen to make healthy, wonderful Indian meals. So if you think that it's somehow too complicated, she would probably say, no, it's not. It doesn't have to be. There you go. And if you're interested in her, I'm sure all you have to do is put her name in your search engine, whatever you like.
All of her recipes are online. And I've got all of them.
And this is her name is Belle Arneson, and last name spelled Arneson. And she's on the Cooking Channel.
Her show is The Spice Goddess. Mm-hmm. Her show.
Yeah, right. Well, we're just about coming down to the point that we have to finish. I don't know if there's some last sort of invocation you'd like to give to folks before we say goodbye for the month.
That means the next month is coming, doesn't it?
That yes, before you know it, it's going to be November. I can't quite cope, but
I was looking to find that recipe, or not recipe. But because the one caller asked about the thing.
So you had the thing that actually said what it was that you had on that famous. So what was the name of the teacher that you had, this woman?
I honestly can't remember her name. And they're no longer here. Here is a recipe. This was one of the menus, American style. First course was a soup. And bhajia. Second course was puri or pagoda, which is a starter, some cooked vegetables, a raita, and she taught me to use cucumber and banana mixed with the yogurt and to add fennel seeds and a tiny bit of powdered coriander. Yeah, coriander powder and fennel seeds, not fennel seeds, cumin. With pickles and chutneys, and then there's a rice dish.
We gotta go.
Keep it going.
We'll be back, though, however, next month with a man we like to call Chef in Residence Doyle Moore, first Tuesday of the month. Wednesday. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. That you had on that famous. So what was the name of the teacher that you had, this woman?
I honestly can't remember her name. And they're no longer here. A recipe. This was one of the menus, American style. First course was a soup and bhajia. Second course was puri or pagoda, which is a starter, some cooked vegetables, a raita, and she taught me to use cucumber and banana mixed with the yogurt and to add fennel seeds and a tiny bit of powdered coriander. Yeah, coriander powder and fennel seeds. Not fennel seeds, cumin. With pickles and chutneys. And then there's a rice dish.
We gotta go. We can't.
Keep it going.
We'll be back, though, however, next month with a man we like to call Chef in Residence Doyle Moore, first Tuesday of the month. Wednesday. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Subaru of Champaign County, now on Route 45 in Savoy. At Subaru's assembly plant in Lafayette, Indiana, a zero landfill status is designed to save cost and our future. It's part of what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Information online at SubaruofChampaign.com or 352-4700.
We'll take a break, as we usually do at this point, to bring you an update on the markets, and then we'll have more focus, so stay tuned.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with a look at the commodity markets. We're at mid-session. Corn up double digits. heading into the second half of the session. This morning, analytical firm Informa Economics cut its estimate of the U.S. 2011 corn yield to 149.5 bushels to the acre. The previous estimate was 151, and Informa projected U.S. corn production at 12.519 billion bushels. Informa raised its forecast for the average U.S. 2011 soybean yield to 41.8 bushels to the acre. Its previous estimate was 41.5, and it projects soy production at 3.087 billion bushels. Let's go ahead and look at the current tick on the marketplace. December wheat in Kansas City is $7.25, up 13.75. May at $7.23.5, up 13.5. December wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade at $6.20 and a quarter,